Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Greetings and salutations, friends. How are you today on this overcast, cool Thursday afternoon? I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass. It is the Sheeman and Shepherd Show on ESPN Southwest Florida, as we like to call it, the Sheeman and Shepherd Radio Network. In addition to listening to any number of stations in the area, don't forget you can always listen to us online on the website, ESPNSWFL.com. And you can get to that even faster if you just download our app, ESPN Southwest Florida, to all of your devices. Simple, easy peasy. Follow us on Twitter at ESPNSWFL. You can follow me at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Chris Beasley's at Chris in SWFL. Our phone number and our Stony Brook Golf Club text line remain the same. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. A lot of guests today. We got Field Yates from ESPN. We'll talk all things NFL. More firings by coaches, more assistant coaches today. No hirings just yet. L. Albright, Michael Bradley checks in from Philadelphia. We'll talk Eagles. We'll talk Scott Rolen. We'll talk 76ers. We'll talk Villanova. I mean, we got to have him on more often. I say that every time. Also, Rick Horrell will be on the program with the business side of sports in the 5 o'clock hour. Pete Shepherd, how are you?
Awesome. Awesome. Little cold front coming in today. A little rain. Not bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a great day. Great day. Congratulations to your Hoosiers last night.
Thank you. Hard fought.
Hard fought, yeah. I will never damn any team for winning on the road. I don't care who's banged up, who's playing not banged up. Win on the road is a win on the road.
By the way, you probably didn't catch the post game with our new interim head coach there because Mike Woodson was out with COVID. He talked about Trace Jackson Davis, talked about Yasir Rosemond, our assistant.
Yeah.
Pretty much his first ever live post game TV interview.
Yeah.
And, the question with Trace Jackson Davis, he thought about going to the draft, was told he was not good enough to be in the first round. And so he says that Trace Jackson Davis, who had 25 and 20 last night, said, if there are 30 guys better than him right now, I'll kiss your ass.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Very nice.
Very smooth.
Nothing wrong with that.
Very smooth.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But you just said a word that you refused to say yesterday.
I was saying it to simplify the process. I don't want to get bogged down into it. He was not the one making the substitutions. The other two assistants were. I've told you, it was a collective group and that Yasir was going to handle the media.
So they finally figured out how to get a collective together at Indiana, huh?
Yeah. Maybe we get some play. You know, our basketball team does okay. It's the football team that only has like 12 contracts for nil. That's a little on the light side. Basketball players, I think they all have six-figure deals. But anyway.
I never used the word interim.
Well, whatever it is you used yesterday.
I just said he's going to handle the game that night.
I spoke with our new traffic director for the station here. She doesn't live in the market, but
who's that?
She's moving up to Bloomington next month.
Really?
Her name is Shelley. She lives in Texas. I don't know.
Where in Texas?
Brownsville.
Oh, well, that's down there.
I didn't know where that was.
That's basically Mexico.
Oh, is it?
It's the border. Okay. It's the land and that southern tip of Texas that's down to the Rio Grande.
Right at the point?
Right there.
Okay.
I mean, she's like ground zero where a lot of stuff's happening.
Well, she's leaving.
Yeah. Going to Bloomington, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. All right.
She in the building?
No.
She lives in Texas.
Remote worker.
Oh. Remote.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
That's the newfangled, new edge, new way to do things now, Pete Shepherd. Remote workers.
Yeah, your home state got a bunch of snow, I guess.
Yeah, it happens. Gets cold up there.
It's breaking news in the NFL.
More?
It just came down.
You going to do it in your rundown?
Yeah.
There you go.
At five minutes past the hour,
wow.
It is time for our first SportsCenter rundown, and it includes... Breaking news! news right off the top instead of 6 o'clock. That's nice. Here's Chris.
The Carolina Panthers got their new head coach, Frank Reich, new man in charge in Charlotte. Reich played quarterback for the Panthers in 1995. The New York Jets announced they're hiring former Denver Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett. Hackett also served as OC for the Packers from 2019 to 2021. I'll let you connect the dots there. The Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office announced yesterday the state accidentally overpaid Brian Kelly by $1 million last year. They are taking steps to correct the mistake.
How does that happen?
Brian Kelly is now reportedly in the Cayman Islands. You may never see him again.
I mean, I'm sure he noticed. I mean, I know coaches are busy. And maybe I know like Nick Saban doesn't know what Twitter is and they don't pay attention to the rest of the world. But I'm sure they check their bank accounts on their phone.
You'd think.
And he knows that he's getting an extra mill.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't all in one lump sum, but it must have been over a period. Like, yeah. Oh, hey, my check's a little heavier this week. So say $1 million over 12. So probably a little over 100 grand, maybe around 100 grand a week.
Chris,
extra.
Feel free to let the higher-ups at this company. I'm okay with it. I would not be offended if that happened.
Remind me after the show, and I'll send off an email.
Thanks. Cool.
Technically, you'd have to give it back.
Yeah.
Technically.
Gratefully,
unless
country.
We never see you again.
Well, I just said, we'll join Brian Kelly.
That's how much over it is.
Go to the Cayman Islands, we'll open up a Swiss bank account, and that'll be that.
Yeah. Wow, that's unbelievable.
Frank Reich. I'm also hearing, I don't know if you guys saw a lot of the rumors out there, the Bieniemy stuff. It's heating up in a way that he may go on to another organization to be an offensive coordinator, and Tampa Bay is one of the places. What I love to see that.
I've heard this because apparently maybe he thinks the knock against him is that Andy Reid's doing all the heavy lifting, and if he can go make his name as an OC somewhere else and be the hot guy, then that can solve his problems.
That would be fantastic.
You know what? I think that's a good move if he can do it. That'd be a good move.
It's just still amazing to me how Indianapolis is that's the only spot I've seen him.
I'm putting money that they're gonna hire Jeff Saturday back, which makes no sense.
Well, that's Ursay. It cracks me up the story. Well, Ursay wants him, but others aren't on board. Does it really matter? The owner wants something. I mean, if Jerry Jones wants something, does it matter who's on board?
I mean, he's the one stroking the guaranteed 5-year contract and the going rate. Okay, if he wants to spill $50 million to make a mistake, it's his money. It's his money.
Yep.
That's funny. Garlic Cake said, hey, the Panthers finally got a quarterback.
it was the first ever one, right?
Yeah, I believe he took the first snap as the expansion Carolina Panthers.
It's a good hire.
He's a solid coach. The only thing I feel bad, Carolina's one of those jobs. I think Washington's another one of those jobs. I think Jacksonville used to be one of those jobs. It's just a grinder job, you know? It's no sexiness to it. You got to build from scratch. And so if you're successful, great.
We've seen Ron Rivera do it. We've seen John Fox do it and get the team to a Super Bowl.
And
I think a lot like Jacksonville last offseason, although probably not as toxic of an environment. Don't underestimate a college coach running the show for 3 years or 2.5 years and what an NFL coach coming in to change the culture, air quotes, of a place. I look at it like Doug Peterson last year. There's not a Trevor Lawrence in place, but it's a guy that can come in and just bring a little bit of stability and say, this is how you do the NFL.
Well, this tells me they're absolutely drafting a quarterback, right? And then he can kind of be the kind of groom the guy. He's good at that.
Fox also had, you know, I mean, DeLome was very good for a couple of years. He also had a fantastic running game, two diverse running backs, different stuff. That was a really good defense.
Look, you had Jake DeLome and you had Cam Newton in your prime. I mean, there's.
Yeah. Frank Reich, by the way, 40-33-1, two playoff appearances in 4.5 years with the Colts.
I think he's a good coach.
No quarterback. Now Panthers GM Scott Fritter, and now Reich in Carolina is to go get their long-term franchise quarterback, like everybody else.
Yeah. Now
I'm more interested in Matt. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, okay, so this is a domino, but I'm hearing Denver and Sean Payton they're falling apart. Now all of a sudden they're not able to come together. I don't know if it's because of money or what, but now I'm hearing D'Amico Ryan. They're moving on, kind of. I mean, we were supposed to get an announcement yesterday, and we didn't get one.
What if Eric Bieniemy went there? His name has not been tied to that at all, but wouldn't that be something if he stayed within the division and went to coach the Broncos? That would be something.
I think D'Amico Ryans is the next hottest name outside of Peyton, Sean Payton.
I mean, Hackett going to the Jets is I'm praying. I really want I hope somehow that Aaron Rodgers thing gets him there.
Did they make that because hire to lure him?
They will chew him up and spit him out with all his BS. And it may not affect him on the field. But he's not going to get away with any of that nonsense if that happens. But I look at Hackett. I mean,
he could be a good coordinator. He's a good coordinator.
Yeah.
That's why he got a head coach. He's just a not a good coach.
He's got ties to big-time ties to Rodgers. But that would be something in the division to have in the AFC East.
He's had one good year outside of the Aaron Rodgers years, which I would argue you could put 99% of coaches in the position of OC of the Packers, and they're going to look fine.
He basically just threw to Devontae Adams every play, right?
But
it's more about relationships, Chris. It's
the and they had a good, and we'll play the sound, but yeah, the running game that he put together. But his time in Buffalo, his first job as an OC, not very good in the passing game at all. They could run the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. His first year in Jacksonville was good. It was 2017 when Blake Bortles and the Jags got to the AFC Championship game. But he was fired after 11 games the following year because they started 3-8 and they needed a guy to take the bullet, essentially. Right. Doug Marrone fired him.
He also coached very poorly against the Patriots in the second half of the AFC Championship, too. They blew a 10-point lead. Not that New England didn't sort of earn it, but there were some really questionable coaching decisions by him.
So, yeah, I mean, he's had good success with Aaron Rodgers, but I'd say who can't have good success with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
But I don't think it's that. I think this is more about, you know, Aaron feels comfortable with Hackett. That's what I'm saying. Who's on the field is irrelevant right now, I think. It's Aaron feels comfortable with
Hackett.
Then
if all your eggs are in that basket, you got to go get them.
I think the Jets are going to really make it. And you heard today, Salah said they are going after a veteran quarterback.
They're going to try, yeah.
I mean, to try to keep developing Wilson. That's a lost cause.
To your point, who was it that was Peyton Manning's OC in Denver? Was it Jim Bob Cooter? Is that where he made his name? I'm trying to think. Before he went to Detroit?
I can't remember.
Who was it? Because that guy, I got to look that up because I remember he got a lot of credit for that, but it was Peyton Manning that wrote him.
Adam Gase got a ton of credit because he was the OC in Denver
Gase. Gase got a whole career of head coaching, head coaching jobs because Peyton Manning made him look good.
Joe Philbin, who just got fired by the Cowboys today for whatever position he was coaching there,
right?
He got his job with the Dolphins because he was OC of the Packers.
Well, look at Josh McDaniels twice, you know, and it goes on and on. You look at the Cowboys over the last couple, with the very few exception of the homeroom coaching tree back then, where a lot of people were successful. I guess Daboll was an OC, right, at one point?
Yeah, Daboll was OC. Yeah. He was OC in Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
So that's worked. I mean, that's one that's worked out. But a lot of times it doesn't.
So you just touched that. So those who don't know, the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, where everything was fine. The game didn't. His coaching career wasn't on the edge there with that last game, the playoff game. Jerry Jones did not fire Mike McCarthy, but apparently he asked Mike McCarthy, or Mike McCarthy decided on his own, either one, to fire six of his assistants. This staff has won 24 games in the last 2 years, and he just fired everybody. Joe Philbin, one of them. I think Leon Lett was on the staff.
Senior defensive assistant George Edwards, assistant defensive line coach Leon Lett, running backs coach Skip Pete, offensive line coach Joe Philbin.
Everybody wants to read into the running backs coach, and now what does this mean for the future of Ezekiel Elliott? I don't know that they're related.
Well, I mean, it depends how big a pay cut he wants to take. If he takes a big enough pay cut, they might keep him.
I don't think who the running backs coach is going to decide anything.
Oh, no, George Edwards. No, running back, Skip Pete. Skip Pete.
Reminds me of the scene in Moneyball. Craig, you won't get this reference, but when Art Howe is asking for a new contract going into his final year, he goes, I won 102 games last year. And Billy Bean looks at him and goes, if you didn't win the last game, nobody gives a crap.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cold.
Yeah. Well, and then he won more games.
Yeah, that year.
That's when you know it's time to leave an organization. I won 102, but you didn't win the World Series, so you're out.
Didn't win a playoff round.
I don't care. I mean, 102, you deserve a raise.
It's 102 in Oakland, and then 100 and whatever it was, eight the next year?
Yeah.
They still didn't win play. They still lost to the Twins.
Yeah.
Yes. Who then lost to the Yankees.
Right.
The Twins do that a lot. Lose to the Yankees.
Yeah,
they lose to the Yankees a lot.
But that Oakland A's, those Oakland A's, I don't know. And it was heartbreaking, too, because the Red Sox played them in 03 and 04. 03 was, they had the Red Sox up 2-0.
Yeah, I remember
Boston
that.
Boston came back. That's when they got Tim Lynn.
Is that Coco Crisp on the A's?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, actually, the A's had several ex-Red Sox players on the team.
Yeah.
But that was that was an unbelievable series, and then Derek Lowe came in and won Game 5. And a crazy night. That was the night, I don't know if you remember, the Monday Night Football game. It was Tampa against Indianapolis.
Sunday night game.
In 03.
Sunday night game. The big comeback?
The big comeback was that same exact night that happened.
Pretty sure that was a Sunday night.
I think it was a Monday night.
It was a night game.
It was a Monday Night Football game. Yep.
All right, there's another story I want to get to know. I always got to run it through the Pete Shepherd filter. Your thoughts on Andrew Callahan and Karen
Grigian.
Grigian.
Yep.
Boston Herald. Legit or not legit?
I know Karen very well. I think a lot of it is probably, I think it's probably very legit.
They got a story that, all season long, Mac Jones and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
Somebody said
profane arguments.
Yeah, Bill Belichick screwed us, and one player said that. I have no doubt.
I mean, we saw it during a game, for crying out loud. I can only imagine what it was like in practice.
Nope. I know Karen very well for many, many years. She's very reliable. I don't know Mr. Callahan, that Callahan, but it's the Herald is solid. If it came from the Globe, I would question everything.
Okay.
Because they have no relationship with the Patriots.
So I can run with it. Turmoil with the Patriots.
Oh, no, that's been resolved.
Saying it all year.
Done.
Exclamation point.
And yet.
Rocky offseason.
Yeah,
you came within one stupid-ass play last Vegas.
Which had nothing to do with anything, despite all the turmoil. Anyway, that's why. That'll all be corrected. They'll be back in the hunt next year.
In the hunt. You know, I remember back in the day, the Patriots used to, win Super Bowls. Now you're in the hunt.
Oh, look.
You know, we're in the hunt category. I live
everybody's
in the hunt.
Buffalo's in the hunt. You're not in the hunt.
You live in the eliminated section. You've just now gotten to the in the hunt section.
I just moved to a new neighborhood. I'm in the hunt now.
Pete's downsizing. You're upsizing. And you're like, look how poor you are.
Oh, yeah. I had an empty nest. All the kids went left the nest. I got to reset here. Don't worry.
No, I hate that Bill O'Brien went back.
Why do you hate it?
Because
he's just going to be good, right?
He's an actual offensive coordinator. I loved the offense the Patriots ran this year. I thought it was elite.
Yeah, elite bet.
If they ask me my opinion, we're keeping Patricia.
And I thought what Karen wrote in the piece, and we can get her on anytime. So we've had her on before.
Yeah.
I thought what was glaring, and absolutely, I don't know how many times I said it during the game, and we talked about it on Mondays or Tuesdays if they played on Monday night. One of the examples they used was the Buffalo game, the first Buffalo game on Thursday night. And an anonymous player came out and said exactly what I was thinking, that Matt Patricia is coaching not to lose. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. Not to get blown out. That was the quote.
Keep it close.
Yes. Don't get blown out. And that's exactly how he coached for a big majority of the year. I mean, you could see it. That's why I would be like, this is not, take some shots down the field. Do something. It was so non-imaginative. The Bucs were in a very similar situation, too, for a lot of games last year. It seemed very predictable. Yeah. It seemed like Leftwich was coaching, maybe not to get blown out, but coaching not to lose.
Not to lose his job.
So
before we all get excited about the AFC East, so Bills and Dolphins, right? And now we've got the Patriots that got a real offensive coordinator for the first time. That should be improvement. And the Jets could get themselves a big time quarterback with I don't know, are they an elite defense? They're a really good defense.
Yeah, but
on the other side, before I get all excited, everybody's all good. It's a tough division. Going into last season, we all said the AFC East was going to be murder, or the AFC West was going to be murder for everybody, and that turned out to be like one and a half good teams, two good teams.
Yeah, but I think that'll change next year. I think the Broncos will make, because the Broncos had an excellent defense.
There were more.
Their offense couldn't get it together.
There were more unknowns in the AFC West going into 2022 than the AFC East going into 2023.
You think?
Like, yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson was brand new in Denver. It was a brand new coaching staff with the Raiders. I mean, look, I think the Chargers, they got crushed by injuries this year.
Yeah.
And it seems like we say that every year about the Chargers.
They need a new trainer.
It was the defense 2 years ago. Yeah. It was the offense this year. If they, I would like
Vegas,
to see them if they can be healthy.
Vegas was Vegas. I don't know. I thought maybe they'd be an 8 or 9 win team. They obviously underachieved big time.
They blew three 17-point leads.
Yeah, three 17-point leads. Now, if Tom Brady goes there, I don't know. I mean, if he does,
they probably don't blow all four of those games. Maybe two of them.
But on the other hand, I could see Brady getting them 17-point leads,
right.
And then, you know, if the defense blows the leads, they blow the leads.
They probably crush the Patriots so bad they don't need a freak play to beat them at the end. That's a comfortable victory formation.
You're thinking of your Lions. Is there a rematch next year? Maybe you can score 3 points against the Patriots next year if there's a rematch.
No,
it's all part of the process, Pete. I'm not worried about that game.
We'll meet you in the Super Bowl. How about that?
All right, I'll keep my end of the deal.
But you don't want to get to the Super Bowl if you lose, so you can't stand the pressure.
One time is okay. 4 times in a row is too much for my heart.
But it could be interesting. I mean, you get Josh Allen, Tua, and Billy O'Brien back with Mac, and then the Jets. If they get Aaron Rodgers, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
No, the Patriots play the 6 games in the AFC East. They play the Hold on one second. What division is this? Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
Oh, the AFC West.
Yeah.
The Washington Commanders and the the NFC East and the New Orleans Saints. That's how that works.
Okay.
All right.
Gosh, those are two tough divisions.
Yeah.
That stinks.
My Lions have the NFC South, which I don't know. I
mean, well, the strength of schedules are out for next year. I mean, we don't know when the teams are playing, but we know who the teams are playing.
I like my schedule because we went 5-1 in the division. We got to take on the NFC South, which every team is in some form of rebuild mode. And then we got the AFC West, which could be a challenge.
Here we go. Strength of schedule for teams next year. This is based off of the 2022 win percentage of all their opponents. The top five. Eagles, the hardest schedule. Then the Dolphins, the second hardest.
Oh.
The Giants, Patriots, and Cowboys are all tied for the third most difficult schedule.
So the NFC East
and the Jets are 6 and the Bills are 7. So the AFC East plays a difficult schedule.
It's the NFC East versus the AFC East. That's what makes it tough.
But look, I'm looking at the Patriots right now. At Dallas, at Denver, and again, don't know the dates or time. At Dallas, at Denver, at Vegas, at Miami, home against Buffalo, home against Miami, home against the Jets, home against Kansas City, home against the Chargers, home against the Philadelphia Eagles, at the Giants, at the Jets, at Buffalo, home against Washington, home against Indy, home against New Orleans, then at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. The Bucs have the 11th easiest schedule. The Lions have the 13th easiest schedule
sounds about
this year.
That seems about right.
Falcons have the easiest. Good for them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, they deserve it.
Well, they got the last place schedule plus the they deserve North.
It. But sometimes, a lot of
times. It never works out that way.
It never works out. Very rarely does it work out the way you think it's going to work out. But
it's fun to look at.
Yeah.
Fun to look at.
It's good to speculate.
I speculate all the time. And I'm usually right.
No, not really. Speaking of usually right, again, USF.
Yeah, good pick.
13-1 in my last 14 on the show. 14-4 overall. You got to be riding me.
I rode you last night.
I know.
And I almost
gave.
I was going to give out Maryland too. I was going to give out the parlay, and I didn't. And Maryland felt good, didn't it? And then Maryland, cruise past Wisconsin. Sorry, Kathleen. I was going to give that one out too, but I didn't.
Look at you. You're picking the winners to give out.
Yeah.
Lay them all out tonight.
I might.
I need to know where to go.
I'm looking at 3.
I'm 0 for my last 3.
Oh.
Stupid Trailblazers.
NBA's tough.
Utah says the year the Bucks won the Super Bowl, they had the easiest schedule.
What, the Brady year or the 03?
I'm going to assume he means the Brady year.
I don't know about that. Well, maybe it was on paper, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but they also had to win two games on a road. Three games on the...
That's not what he's talking about.
I know, but in the playoffs, they had to go three times on a road and win, and then, you know, win the Super Bowl at home.
I know, but playoffs aren't on the schedule.
Well, but I don't care how easy the schedule was. They had to go on the road and win three playoff games.
Let's see.
That's not been done a lot.
Former MLB-er, no personal information from you guys. Laugh emoji.
Riding Pete
Shepard's red hot.
Jump on my back, boys.
Let's go.
Kathleen is a disgruntled Wisconsin fan after they lost to Maryland last night. Just giving up. Come on, Maryland.
I knew. Look,
Kathleen, Wisconsin, you can't give up.
Wisconsin won earlier. Well, they lost to Northwestern this the other night too. Tough
Northwestern's
game.
Not terrible.
No, Northwestern's good, but just Wisconsin beat Maryland earlier in the year by 5. That was a tough game. I remember watching a lot of that game. It was a tough game. But Maryland is very good at home. But they won by 15, I think, last night.
All right, when we come back.
Still an ACC school to me.
I agree.
I also agree.
Sorry.
I don't want them in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I don't want them in the ACC. Well, I want them in the ACC.
I got you.
Those Maryland-Duke games were fun to watch growing up.
Oh,
yes, they were.
They were great.
Maryland-Carolina games are fun.
Who was their coach? Greg Williams.
Greg Williams.
Loved that guy.
He was there for like 25 years.
Yeah, he was there a long time.
He was at Boston College first.
He was
a well-dressed man.
Great coach.
Nice
hair. They went from Dr. Tom
and
Davis.
And throw nutties on the sideline.
What?
He would throw a nutty on the sideline. I love those.
He was a great back in the early days, and that's the one thing about Requiem for the Big East. BC should have got way more credit in the early years than they did. They had one of the best teams in the league. They focused mostly on Syracuse, Georgetown, but John Bagley and Michael Adams, and first Dr. Tom Davis was there. He ended up going to Iowa after that betting scandal happened during his tenure. Then Gary Williams took over the program, did an unbelievable job, and then he left for Maryland and did another unbelievable job. He was an excellent coach.
All right, when we come back, we haven't even scratched the most interesting story from college basketball last night.
Providence over Butler?
Easily? No. It involves an Uber delivery during the game.
I saw this.
We'll do this when we come back. In the meantime, it's conference championship week, and ESPN Southwest Florida has all the coverage starting around at 2 o'clock with the Eagles hosting the 49ers, followed by the Chiefs hosting the Bengals. Coverage of Conference Championship Week is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. How are you today on a Thursday? Field Yates joins us in about an hour. Frank Reich is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And the Denver Broncos Sean Payton story seems to be cooling off. So we'll see where we're at there, among other things to talk about today. Later on, Michael Bradley, El Hombre, will join us from Philadelphia. We'll get his thoughts on the Eagles, among other things, who just had a red-hot season. The Cincinnati-Kansas City line continues to move all over the place. Again, because of Patrick Mahomes and his health. I believe it is now even. I've seen both minus one and even, minus one Chiefs and even today.
Right now it's minus one.
Okay.
And by the way, I got a great nugget about that. Now that it is minus one, and now that Joe Burrow is an underdog, Joe Burrow 18-1 against the spread in the last 19 game as a favorite of less than 7 points. Bengals are 21-5 against the spread in their last 26. So I have the Chicago Duquesne game from last.
You do have it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so this is Loyola Chicago. This is Sister Jean's team.
Yeah, but it was at Duquesne.
But I think she travels. And maybe she needed a sandwich.
I don't think
anyway,
so.
Anyway, an Uber Eats guy started, well, was going to deliver a McDonald's and, like, walked on the court.
You know that scene in Hoosiers when Dennis Hopper walks on the floor? And because he's drunk.
Drunk.
And, like, and DJ Happer was like, he just walked on the floor. Then they give him a technical foul. But
Chris has it.
I have it.
Well, it's simpler for him.
I
mixed it down and hopefully made it sound better.
Oh.
Louder.
Because there's a minute and 17 seconds I got.
All right. Yep.
I don't know if this is Duquesne Radio Network or
what. I think it is.
Okay.
Or no, it's the television.
Television.
Which... Yeah. Anyway, here it is.
Okay. We'll let it go into the bench, and Loyola would take over 10 minutes before we get a stoppage. And we've got an official's timeout. And somebody came on the floor on the far side. Looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something there? He's carrying some McDonald's.
Oh, this has to be one of the all-time greats.
I'm actually not kidding.
No, this is the truth.
I think that's what's happening.
This guy's in the corner. Looked like was he going to deliver the McDonald's to somebody on the court? Can we rule that out?
I think that's an Uber Eats sticker. Is that what that is? I'm trying to get confirmation. Uber Eats, yes.
Maybe I'll put my hand up. I'm getting a little hungry. You can bring it over here.
So we saw the stoppage. The man was ushered. Let's see if we can see this. No, this is going to be the turnover.
There he is, right there in the corner.
Yay, this guy is actually – who's he delivering it to?
The ref.
The
ref said later. Give it to me later. Not now.
Philip Alston's done a lot. I didn't think he needed a Big Mac for sustenance in the middle of the game.
I know, but I'm – well, the official out there, Tim, he distanced him like, I didn't say now. Later. That's got to be unbelievable. That's got to be something – that the highlight shows are going to have a blast with.
Now, two things. One, because I only saw the video quickly this morning, and I didn't punch it. I have it here. It was definitely McDonald's bag. Has that been confirmed that it was McDonald's, or did they make that
up? I couldn't see because it was a wide TV shot, and it was in your lower right-hand corner. The guy walked onto the court toward the official. I couldn't see what he was
holding. They were pretty adamant it was McDonald's.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Now, question number two, my impression was it going to somebody in the front row or somebody in the stands?
That's what I initially thought when I read the story.
And three, I have two-part question three. One, did they order from inside the arena? Is there a restaurant inside the arena that would actually bring down the food? And four, if that didn't happen, how in the hell do you get in through security? How do you go up to the ticket window or go through the turnstile and say, I have a delivery for Mr. Smith in Section A? How does all of that happen?
I think at smaller schools, if a delivery guy shows up, I think they'd be lax and let you through. I don't know.
I mean, all arenas, they all have rest. They all have, okay, I'm looking, the guy's got a yellow shirt on.
I know Georgia Tech's basketball when Kremenz was the head coach. They literally had a McDonald's built in to their basketball arena.
All right, I'm looking right now. And I still can't tell. It's a little blurry. The guy's got a yellow hoodie.
He's a portly fellow.
Yeah.
In a yellow t-shirt slash hoodie.
Yeah, it's a yellow hoodie.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an Uber Eats bag or a McDonald's bag.
Well,
regardless, I don't know how you get into. I don't unless there's a restaurant. I don't know how it's allowed. And he came. When you look at it, he didn't come down the stairs. He came from the tunnel.
He's on the floor. I know.
He came from the locker room area. You know.
Well, he's
fans can't get through that.
He's doing
area.
A good job. All right, now Chris says there's more to the story.
Oh.
Chris, was this a gag?
This seems to be one of these YouTube pranksters that
wants clicks.
Did this, yeah, because I guess people are saying that before he walked on, there were a bunch of people filming that corner of the basketball court, and he had a microphone.
He's wired?
Yeah, he was wired up, so he had a microphone on.
Okay.
I'm trying to find who it was, though.
Okay, so this was a gag. As far as we could tell.
Yeah.
But to Pete's point, how does security let a guy in the building and or on the court? Unless he had a ticket and just brought this stuff with him and it's an empty bag as a prop. You know, that could be it. He could have had a ticket like anybody else and he just brought
a
McDonald's bag with him. Hey, who knows if it was even empty? And he's going to get the clicks for the
video. So it says here, this is from Austin Hansen, who was at the game.
Yes.
He put out a Twitter thread. First one is just a video from his angle. He says that the kid was clearly doing a prank for YouTube, TikTok. You can see he's wearing a microphone, and tons of students were filming him with their phones. He goes on to say they didn't kick him out. He was casually walked back into the stands with his McDonald's in hand.
Well, yeah, it's
a, it was a stunt.
It's a straw.
Why was he not kicked out?
Should have been kicked out.
Because it was a stunt put on by the school. What else would you expect
by the
from
school?
What else would you expect? And I bet you Loyola Chicago was in on it. It was probably probably an idea that was mastermind by Sister Jean. She said, "I'm not in the public enough. Let's get Loyola Chicago back in the
this
news."
This is probably on Duquesne, and they should get fined. And it should be a big fine, because what, the guy was a psycho and had a knife or godly knows what else. In this day and age, they are so protective of who can get on the floor and who can't. That is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, you know who I blame.
I'd be livid if I was. I mean, that's you can't let that happen.
No. Wow.
Oh man,
I'm with Blue Bandana. Dang, now the story is lame. It's because it was a prank instead of a real deal. It would have been awesome if that were a real deal.
It could still be awesome.
Yeah,
it was an awesome prank. It was funny.
Did Scott Van Pelt have it on last night?
He just walked around in a circle holding a bag of McDonald's and a Coke in the other hand, just a Coca-Cola, just turning around looking.
And the straw was going through the top of the cover in a funky way.
It was.
What now?
The straw was going through the top of the soda.
I think it was like taped to the top.
Maybe that was it. You couldn't really tell. But that's, in this day and age, letting people wander out. Oh, I guess, you know, college football, the people in basketball, they're storming the floor. But I'm talking during the game. What if that happened in an NBA game?
Is that worse than throwing your mouthpiece at somebody and getting ejected?
Hey-o!
Yeah, but he's a player. But he's a player.
By the way, that's the second time he's done that.
I'm talking about a stranger.
And been tossed.
What if he poked somebody's eye out?
What if he had COVID and just threw his saliva germs all over somebody in the front row?
There's a lot of ifs, but the
what if the mouthpiece hit the scoreboard, the Jumbotron, and it hit the wire in such a way that the Jumbotron fell on the court?
What if he threw it up in the middle of a shot and it was goaltending?
There's an idea.
Purple Pirate says the broadcast for this game seemed too prepared for something like this. He thinks the broadcast crew was. Did you say that? The broadcast crew was
in on? I didn't say that.
No, I doubt it. By the way, last night, also, which we can't play the sound for, at Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, there's a wonderful cheer. F. Ben Simmons that went on for a long time as the a very, very interesting last night in the game, which the Sixers ended up winning 137 to 133. It was a brawl beyond belief. There were all sorts of technical fouls and free throws on both sides and this, that, and the other thing. Simmons, by the way, had 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. However,
stat stuffer
benched the last 8 minutes and 57, basically the last 9 minutes of the game when Brooklyn was down by 14. As soon as he went on the bench, Brooklyn went on a run and tied it. As soon as he went on the bench.
Hmm. So their offense got better without him on the court.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And they're 2-5 without KD.
That makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a...
I think it was Tim McManus went on one of the shows this morning. He's a Philly guy, covers the Eagles for ESPN and also does a lot of Sixer stuff. In fact, got his start in basketball.
Yes.
And he was saying that there is true animosity between the Nets and Sixers. They do not like each other. Players on the team don't like each other. Mm-hmm. The coaching staffs don't like each other. They do not like each other.
I don't think the fans like either of these teams.
Well,
by and large, not Philly fans or Net fans, but I think like people like us.
There's like,
I'm all for rivalries, though. See, I don't mind.
I like it.
It's amazing. They were debating this morning on First Take. Like, what's, you know, the Celtics-Lakers because they're playing Saturday night. Is it still a rivalry? I mean, you know, they only play twice a year. To me, it's still a rivalry. But when I was growing up, just like you, Craig, I mean, like Celtics-Lakers, yeah. But for me, Celtics-76ers was more.
Mm-hmm.
Meant more.
You're playing beating four times
them.
A year. Or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever it was, that was like real, honest to good sports.
And I think to have a good rivalry, proximity has to play a role.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because the fans need to be able to interact with each other, and that's why college rivalries are so great because of the proximity. Because you have Auburn and Alabama fans that work together. That
yeah,
they get to fly that flag for the next 364 days. Same with Ohio State, you know, any one of them.
It's like Miami, you know, Miami and the Celtics have had a pretty good history the last decade, really. But
two decades, yeah.
But it's not. It still doesn't feel the same to me.
It's not hatred. It's not, right, right. It's not
there's a
hatred.
Lot of, there's a lot of
you
respect.
You can't go into work in Miami and bust the guy's chops in the cue ball next year because he's a Celtic fan.
I think in Miami it might be you have a lot of Celtics fans. It's in Boston. Not a lot of people move from Florida to Massachusetts.
I was surprised the other night on the TNT on Tuesday night how there were a lot of empty seats in Miami. Sort of disappointing. I was surprised. It wasn't traffic. It was
a sellout.
It didn't look good. There's a lot of people that didn't show up.
They didn't show the 300 section there at Miami-Dade Arena.
No, it was in the kind of on the first section all the way around. There were a lot.
Well, those are the season ticket holders.
Yeah.
I
don't mean the front row.
Those tickets are bought and paid for.
I mean up in the back. It just seemed like I was surprised at how many empty seats.
You know, I went to the Bocelli concert. First time I've been in that arena, and I was a little bit taken aback at how cavernous and huge. It's massive.
Yeah. It's massive.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a really cool arena, too. I haven't been in too many NBA arenas, but that's a cool one.
Yeah. What does it hold when it's full? Like full basketball capacity? Is it 17,000? 20,000? Did it hit 20,000?
I think it's 18 something.
Yeah. It's up there. It's pretty impressive.
19,146.
Okay.
I wonder for concerts, though, it might be more.
If the floor is available, it's probably more.
Yeah.
No.
For concerts,
it's 19,146.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for basketball, what, take a 1,500 off that?
Yeah. Well, see, the concert I went to, the floor was full, but they had a black tarp across the stage cutting off basically the end zone, if you will. So I don't know they make up the seats on the floor, but anyway, interesting. All right, coming up, we got Sound Street next. And don't forget, the Florida Everblades are on ESPN Southwest Florida. Two more games this week. Tomorrow night, 7:15, and then Saturday night, 6:45. Both games at Hertz Arena. You can go there, buy tickets, and you can even win those tickets on Wikipedia later on. Nevertheless, keep listening all week for your chance to win your way into Everblades games with Wikipedia at 4:45-ish. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, if you're just tuning in, follow the bouncing ball. Nathaniel Hackett was fired as the head coach of the Broncos. Remember, once upon a time, he was coordinator with the Packers. Now been hired as offensive coordinator for the Jets. You could start all the Aaron Rodgers rumors there. We'll follow up with that in a moment. Here's Robert Salah on the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett as his new offensive coordinator for the Jets.
We knew we were going to come in with – we know we're going to have a basically revamped offensive line. We've been talking about getting a veteran quarterback in here if we can. We've got a really young group of skill guys, so it was very important for us to have guys who have done it before. Because of the conviction, because of the philosophy, and them having the recall and the scars, if you will, to be able to build what we think can be a really special offense. But Nathaniel, he's one of the great strengths is that he is a West Coast guy with regards to scheme, so there's going to be some continuity there. He's got a proven history of being able to develop a heck of a run game in every stop that he's ever been in. He's got a proven track record of tremendous relationships with all the quarterbacks that he's ever worked with, and he's gotten great head success with all the quarterbacks that he's worked with.
Now, interesting. Should they get Aaron Rodgers? Does he fit the West Coast system? Is that his style? Would he be comfortable with that? Or, like any good coach, you overcome, you adjust, you adapt to the talent you're provided.
Aaron Rodgers does not like the dink and dunk. He likes to risk it for the biscuit.
Yep.
Downfield, as they say. All right, here's Robert Salah on what Hackett's hiring means for the cornerback room.
No, the quarterback position, obviously, with all the different interviews, was the number one concern, and rightfully so. And it was simple. We're committed to finding a veteran. We didn't get into names. I doubt that he's even studied. He hasn't studied those guys yet, which he's going to start next week. But we didn't get into specifics on names. But it was talked about that we do plan on bringing a veteran quarterback if we can. We do want to continue working with Zach and continue to develop him.
I still like Derek Carr. I know everybody wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but Derek Carr to the Jets.
Well, it's because no one knows what's going on inside of Aaron Rodgers' head.
No, but not even him.
No.
No. Very
again,
aloof.
A lot of alliteration bouncing around up there in that noggin of his.
All right, here is Dan Graziano on the Jets. They should not have hired Hackett just to get Rodgers. He said this on ESPN Radio.
You shouldn't hire Nathaniel Hackett because you think it'll bring you Aaron Rodgers. That's the lesson from the Broncos last year. And I don't think that's exactly what the Jets have done here. But we know there's a good relationship between those two people, right? So if you're thinking about making a run at it and you believe in Nathaniel Hackett as a coach, then you see him as a potential asset in that potential pursuit as well.
Hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when we come back, we still have some sound here that will help us preview the AFC Championship game with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
And do I have a great Joe Burrow quote from yesterday as well?
All right, that is all coming up. Plus Field Yates at 3:30.
Has nothing to do with the Chiefs, by the way.
Oh.
Or the Bengals.
Oh. Okay. Here is, we'll do that when we come back. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.